flip to page 219. Page 219, Matins.
O Lord, open my lips.
Now and will
as Him, Son of God, Eternal Savior, hymn 842. You may be seated.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the responsory on page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the
Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
May be seated.
In the name of the Father, Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a saying in the South, maybe you've heard it, it goes like this. Bless your heart. Down in the South, when someone says, bless your heart, it can mean an actual desire for blessing or something else altogether. Someone's having health issues or challenges in life, someone might say, bless your heart, as an expression of sympathy or comfort. On the other hand, bless your heart can also be used as a backhanded insult. If someone's saying or doing something unwise and someone tells them, bless your heart, or speaking of them says, bless his heart, they're really calling that person sort of ignorant. So if someone tells you, bless your heart, you may want to think about what they really mean. But thankfully, such vagaries of language don't belong to our Lord. When Jesus says, blessed, in the text today, he means exactly that. His blessing is both declarative and indicative. Declarative, since Jesus has divine power to declare blessing, to bestow blessing. And indicative, since he is describing the state you are in as his saints. You are blessed in Christ and await a great heavenly reward. Our text begins. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, here Jesus teaches in the place of Moses as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The setting recalls Moses being given the law after going up on Mount Sinai. And when he came down, he taught the people the law of God. But Jesus is greater than Israel. But Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus doesn't go up on the mountain to receive revelation, but rather Jesus goes up on the mountain to teach as the source of all revelation. And Matthew makes a point of saying that Jesus opened his mouth. Our God isn't like idols who can't speak. Jesus, for Zion's sake, doesn't keep silent, but opens his mouth to pour out his word of life to his disciples. We read in the book of Hebrews that Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus made it clear all of Scripture, the writings of Moses and the prophets, are about him, the Christ. Jesus came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Jesus seated on the mountain teaching in the place of Moses means the Old Testament now is interpreted in him and his fulfillment of it. The Son inherits what was prophesied, and we have inheritance in the Son. Teaching as the source of all revelation was a crucial part of Jesus' ministry on earth. Apart from his act of atonement on the cross, teaching is one of the most important things Jesus did. And even if Jesus hadn't opened his mouth to teach, the works he did taught and testified of him. And now, teaching here about the blessing, the inheritance, and the reward we have in him. And Jesus made sure this teaching would continue after his ascension by teaching his disciples. He commanded them to make other disciples by baptizing in his name and teaching them. Our text today is part of this teaching. And although the crowd overheard Jesus on the mountain, the primary audience for Jesus' teaching here is his disciples, The disciples would go on to teach the nations, just as Jesus taught them here about the blessings we all have in Him. All of the blessed statements, the Beatitudes, tell us who we are in Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes and the blessings and rewards within are to be heard Christologically as being fulfilled in Christ. Matthean scholar David Scare writes, "Extract the Christological element from the Beatitudes and their unmatched theological genius and majestic character as gospel is lost, and they are transformed into law, suffering a moralistic doom." If we read ourselves into the text apart from Christ, we receive only condemnation, not blessing and reward. Who of us can say that we are truly poor in spirit, meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, or pure in heart? In our flesh, born of the old Adamic nature, we are the exact opposite of all these things. But Christ is the poor in spirit. God says through the prophet Isaiah, "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit." Though our carnal mind would exalt ourselves to be as a God, Christ made no claim on God. In his state of humiliation, the Son of Man was made for a time to be lower than the angels he himself created, to bring about his exalted reign in the kingdom of the heavens. He became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our contrition, our lack, our paucity of spirit was perfected in the person of Jesus Christ, who prayed to the Father from the cross, "I am a worm and not a man." In Christ, we are blessed ones. The plural adjective blessed is given first position here by Jesus to emphasize that we are blessed by God, saved, delivered. And the blessedness we have in Christ is now in the present and future. The poor in spirit have blessing in the kingdom of heaven now through word and sacrament. Faith receives every blessing in Christ. In the Lord's Prayer we pray, "Thy kingdom come." As we await the final consummation of all things, an inexpressible treasure in the kingdom of heaven. And the reign of the kingdom of heaven is established even now by the death and resurrection of Jesus. He conquered your sin and the death you deserve by the power of his blood and ever-living spirit. He declared his mercy for you from the tree of death in these words, "Father, forgive them." The kingdom of heaven, established by the mercy of God, is your inheritance, your reward. The rewards given by God are truly worthy of rejoicing. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the lowly, the humble. Blessed is Christ, and we are blessed in him, for he is gentle and lowly in heart, and his yoke is easy, and his burden light. Christ has brought forth a renewal of all creation through meekness and gentleness. In the new heaven and new earth, creation once more brings forth abundant life, such as was before Adam and Eve spoiled creation through sin. Thorns and thistles will give way to verdant pastures. Earth, parched by drought, will give way to streams of living water, streams of life. Now the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance, creates life even now through word and sacrament. The word of absolution purifies our hearts of all sin by the blood of Jesus, so we will see God face to face in all his glory.
The waters of holy baptism give us new life. Life in the resurrected Christ. A new creation within us which will never see corruption. The forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are in the body of Christ you eat and the blood of Christ in the cup you drink as a foretaste of the feast to come. Your hunger and thirst for righteousness draws you to God's means of grace, and by faith you are satisfied until your hunger and thirst are fully sated in the feast of the resurrection. But being blessed in Christ and receiving heavenly rewards worthy of rejoicing will bring present persecution. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Such is the dichotomy of the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men shuns the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, and persecutes the blessed ones for righteousness' sake, for the sake of Christ. The wisdom of God embraces the fulfillment of all things in Christ, where the poor become rich, the meek are exalted, the merciful receive mercy, and the persecuted are blessed with great reward in the resurrection of the dead. So, when you confess your faith in Christ in the public square, at work, at school, or perhaps even at home to unbelieving family, and you're made fun of, spoken evil of, and otherwise treated cruelly, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. The source of our joy isn't from the approval of people around us, but rather from the blessedness found in Christ. In Him, we have eternal blessing and great reward, since He has made peace between us and God by the blood of His cross. So we shall be sons of God, the ones resurrected with Christ who gain eternal inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. We sang the words of Jesus in the common responsory, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." May we keep the word of God by believing what He has told us, that we are blessed in Him and will receive heavenly reward. We will receive the ultimate comfort. The Lamb will be our shepherd and guide us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. All blessing, praise, honor, glory, and worship be to God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. At this time, take your hymnal and turn to hymn 223, page 223. Sing the great hymn of the church, the Te Deum Laudamus, page 223. Please stand.
Thank you.
members and visitors take the ritual friendship pad at the end of the pew, fill it out and tear the sheet off and pass the folks sitting next to you, and take those sheets and put them in the basket in the narthex as you leave. We gather the offerings. You may be seated. Turn to page 227. We stand and sing the Kyrie, page 227. Please stand.
Comfort for the Morris family at the death of Eric Morris,
now that you've received into yourself in heaven. Grant, O Lord, that as a baptized Christian, you received him before your face, as we also thank you today for the baptisms of both Nathan and Mary. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Be with us in our infirmities. On behalf of all the afflicted, we pray. For Jane Hollingsworth, Ellen Schmidt, and Olga and Nestle. Karen Lattisaw, Keith Enko, and Bill Osborne. Linda Fillmore and Bob Eby. Fred Miller, Pam Stevenson, and Christopher Tomlinson. Barry Hanke, Mike Schultz, Tim Anderson, Lindsay Shem, and Candy Darmody. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, teach us to hunger and thirst for your righteousness that we receive in your holy body and blood. Purify our hearts by your grace and strengthen us in all temptation as we look forward joyfully today to the day when we will see your glory face to face. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.